Hey, what's happening, everybody?
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, that time again on the Blog Talk Radio Network. That special time at an 8 o'clock hour on a Wednesday evening. We are live. I am the person known as the Sun, and this is the K-Town's Alive Show. And you are, lady.
K-Town's Alive. Live.
You are Kay Thompson, you are live.
Yes.
Okay, that's what you meant to say.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kay Thompson Live Board. We have an exciting show for you today. And we're going to be starting in just a few minutes. You'll hear that wonderful music in the background right there. Turn up the music a little louder. So it gets people coming together and waiting for Wayne again and waiting for Fine Sounding. We're going to be talking to Marco Jones, who's going to be our new media consultant, as a matter of fact. Lisa Payne, director. Let me see, what else? Dina Payne from Bermuda, with a Bermuda report sometime later in the day or later next week. But we're going to be doing that. So, hello, everyone. Hello, and welcome to K. Thompson Live. Lots going on.
Yeah, let's open up the mic for our resident guest host and welcome in, So, Mr. Byron Saunders. Hello, Byron.
Well, good evening, my good friends. I hope all is well over in Jersey land.
Everything is right fine, my brother.
Right
well,
fine,
good.
Sir. How are you this evening?
Well, it's another blessed day here in New York. And, well, we had a rough day yesterday over down in on the West Side Highway, as you know, and sorry to say that we lost some lives yesterday, but you know what? New Yorkers are tough, and we mourn the loss, but we do not let terrorism keep us from doing the job that we have to do on a daily basis.
Yeah, people in New York, keep it moving. I like
That's
to
right.
hear that a young D.C. man has now claimed himself as a New York person. I'm sure some of the folks in D.C.,
I got my driver's license that claims I'm from New York now, so you know, which is a good thing.
Which is basically just an ID card, because if you're a real New Yorker, you know you've never got. If you just got your driver's license in New York, you just got your New York driver's license, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, I had to trade in my Georgia one, and you know, but you know how that goes.
A true New Yorker, as you know.
That's right.
Usually don't. Driver's licenses until they're 35. So
that's right.
But we
that's
the hearts do. I do want to also agree with you and send out our heart emotions and our hearts to the people who've lost loved ones.
Yeah.
So we want to wish those people the God's mercy and strength as they deal with this very difficult time. I want to open up the phone here for our other co-host, legendary newsman, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Wayne, how you doing tonight?
Okay, good evening, Eric. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Not an easy time we're in here, you know, very, very difficult.
Did you forget me, Wayne?
I said good evening, everyone. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the show's host, the most important person. Someone I genuflect and occasionally stand in reverence, and when I'm in the presence of this person, I kiss her ring. I do everything that I can to stay on her good side, Miss Kay Thompson and family.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
All right, forgive me. You know, at 60 something, I tend to forget, but I thought I said everyone. I'm sorry.
All right, don't let it happen again, buddy.
What a
news. Hey, go ahead, Ma. You want to
a lot of news we're going to be talking about. You know, we're going to be talking to Marco Jones is going to be joining us, you know, and she's a new media consultant, as a matter of fact. And she knows what's going on in the city scene. Let me see, and who else? Gina Payne Scott in Bermuda. Gina's doing a whole lot of things in Bermuda. Okay. Also, another Brooklyn by Jacqueline. Well, you know, I'm reading again, and this new author, her name is Jacqueline Woodson. She's a word choreographer, you know, because the structure of her writing, the structure alone, you know, will make you want to read this book. But it's absolutely fantastic. And doing my book report later on, or you know, on the my extra show this the TV short, I'll be talking about her. Well, by the way, also, everyone, Wendy Williams is okay, all right?
Okay.
She's friend, I'm a friend of her mother's and her, and hello to Wendy. Glad you're okay. Take care of yourself. Ann Tripp, good friend. You know, she's going to be joining us with this whole thing from now on also. Margot Jones. She's going to be calling in. She's going to be letting us know about a little bit more about it, Bill Moore and a few people, and then also we're going to be getting to a whole different topics.
All right. So let's talk about, obviously, we had some the terrorist attack yesterday, unfortunately, and it was really unfortunate that another hit us like this. I couldn't help but notice the similarity to another time, to the last time that something like this happened. And I don't know if anybody else, any of you guys might have noticed a similarity, the context in which a similar circumstance, the last terrorist attack happened in New York City. And if you remember, it was during another Republican presidency. And if you also remember, it was during another difficult time for that Republican presidency. And if we jog our memories to go back then, if you consider what was happening right before 9/11, it's very similar to what was happening just these past couple of days. The cynical part of me said that's interesting timing that there was a terrorist attack in New York the day after these indictments. Someone was being indicted, right? And in terms of news cycles and something dominating the news cycle, I just couldn't help but notice the timing of this event and how it just seemed ironic. And, you know, in between some of these things that go on in life are people losing their lives, everyday people, just like you and me. And it's unfortunate that sometimes everyday people get in the way or happen to be collateral damage to the craziness of some people in the world. I don't know what you guys think about that, but or if you even noticed the similarities or something seemed a little bit interesting similar to this situation. I wonder, I guess my question is what are your thoughts, gentlemen?
Well, this is Byron on this. I'll weigh in on this temporarily. I had a friend of mine from Washington, D.C., took a similar track that you did, Eric. And the first thing he works for the federal government, and the first thing he said was, this is Trump. And I have to think about that for a second, because there are two things that are happening this weekend that bear a certain kind of attention that we need to pay very close attention to. The Department of Defense is holding a electromagnetic pulse test this weekend from November 4th. Through the 6th. Do you know what that means, Eric and Kay and Wayne? They are testing a system in which they're shutting down a major portion of our electronic grid as a test for terrorist attack. You may not have access to your, that's right, you may not have access to your computer, your microwave, everything that has something to do with electronic response from the electric grid. The country is testing a major shutdown in major areas all across the country from November 4th through the 6th. Now, yes, it's important to understand that, because like Eric was saying, this last major attack we had in New York, which was associated with the bin Laden family, it is interesting to note that the President Bush at that time escorted the entire bin Laden family out of the United States that next day afterwards. And at the point at which, yes, it could all be conspiracy theory, but it's a little bit too coincidental when you got the president getting ready to leave out of the country for another 10 days, is it? So
wow.
It's like pay attention to events. And Eric, you raise a very significant point there by association to things that seem a little too similar.
Yeah. Wayne, what are your thoughts on that?
I have a different take on it. I mean, I've been watching, and it's not even a question of or becoming somewhat immune, and immune is not even the word, I want to use in this case, but it comes to mind. I lived through 9/11. I mean, I did 17 hours on the air that day. I'll never forget what we went through. I admit it happened during a Republican, as we know historically, that it occurred under Bush's watch. There's always been speculation that the White House was well aware of something about to happen before it happened. But the one thing that I will say, in juxtaposed to what is going on now, is that this situation has become so highly politicized because of Trump's tweeting and reckless behavior, in my opinion, that there's enough going on with him now, with the Mueller investigation, the fact that now he's even turning on his own son-in-law about some of the things and statements and actions he was well aware of during the course of the campaign last year that he's giving him grief for now, based on some of the reports I've read. But when I compare both. And I've seen the myriad of events that have occurred since 9/11. This was expected. I mean, the similarities, we had an attack some months ago where a young man who came from New Jersey, was living in another part of New Jersey, came to New York, and in that same area in the Tribeca, well, not Tribeca, but Chelsea area, near Tribeca, because this happened, if I'm not mistaken, and Byron, you could correct me on this, but it was near Tribeca in the lower west side of Manhattan. But the bottom line is that, whether it's 8 lives or 3,000 lives, a death is a death. We should not have to be going through this. And the thing that really bothers me is how Trump would turn around and politicize a situation and blame Democrats, and I'm not saying at least the Republican administration that brought up this process of bringing people into this country, did the right thing, what was considered politically expedient to allow folks from other parts of the world going through oppression to come here, which is part of the American way of doing things, But he was so quick to call out Chuck Schumer, like as if he had wanted to assign blame. And, Trump creates these news cycles. He's on the precipice of taking his longest trip out of the country. I would like to hope that at some point that is so long that he decides to stay away forever. That's just my personal opinion. It would be my fervent wish that he would sit down and talk to the president of North Korea, but I know that's not about to happen.
Not going
to
happen.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah, he's canceled that part of his trip.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, with North
Korea. Yes. Yes, he did.
Okay, I was unaware of that.
But there is something else. There is something else relative to the attack. This was a Russian. This was from Uzbekistan.
Right, exactly.
And there's something. It's rubbing my. It's you get that spider sense that's tingling that says, wait a minute. We're dealing with Russia. We got a Russian operative who claims to be Muslim, and if you know anything about the former United Soviet Socialist Republic, Uzbekistan is a heavily Muslim, Mongol, Caucasoid area of part of Russia that had separated itself, and of course was under the regime of a dictator very close to Putin. And they have had some issues that we need to understand the geopolitical ramifications of maybe our foreign policy that has established this area of concern where our country is being singled out because of our policy overseas. And which side are we on? Does anybody really know now?
Also, Byron, more in particular, before we get into the weeds of that, but more in particular, you say we're being singled out because of our stance and our aggressive actions, and certainly that's being compounded by Trump's rhetoric. But I want to get into the kind of on-the-ground police facts of this particular situation yesterday. The MO from many of these occurrences has been that these individuals are willing to commit suicide. They're basically suicide bombers, right?
Right.
Usually with all individuals that commit these acts. However, this individual is running around on the street with a BB gun and a paintball gun. Right?
Thank you.
Which seemed a little strange to me. And then also, that just seemed a little odd to me that this guy, you know, normally they're like, they want to go to Allah. So they want this, they want to bring their death on. And one of their things is they go to glory by giving their life in this particular situation. So that was odd to me. And now you talk about the electric pulse, because, you know, anybody's played video games, which I have in the past and things like that. And when you play certain games, they have that electro pulse. Electric pulse is a weapon that kind of, you said, when you send out, if you're one of the characters in a video game and you send out that electro pulse, that dead everybody's weapon that operates on electricity. And also, I think, if I'm not mistaken, what also happens in that situation, like when your computer, you know, power goes out in your house and they tell you not to unplug your computer because back in the day, because you get a power surge and it'll cause you to lose your information. So what happens with a power surge, an electro pulse that goes out, certain systems that aren't protected, the information is lost, right? It blanks out the system. It basically, old computer heads would tell you that electric pulse would kill your system and burn all your circuits, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happens then when you have this power, this electro pulse throughout the grid that goes in and shocks certain systems and causes information to be lost? Now, when you just bring that up, which I didn't know, Byron, that causes me even more to see the similarities of 9/11 when building number 7 went down, right? If you look at Michael Moore's movie and he talks to the guy who owned building 7 where all the financial records were, all of a sudden they decide to bring that one down, and there was no destruction made to that building, but for some reason they decide to, as the guy described in the video clip, if you watch the movie again, he said, we decided to pull it. And people in demolition terms say that's a term for bringing the building down, for an implosion. So 9/11 happens, mysteriously all the building holding all these very important financial records are lost. People kind of forget that Bush got in the presidency on very shady circumstances, which, in fact, if you remember, he wasn't really in the beginning of his presidency spending too much time at the White House. He was in Midland, Texas all the time. And people had to kind of say, you know, you got to kind of come to D.C. You're the president. You got to be in the Capitol. And if you look at, there's an interview with him and where he was clearing brush or something, you know, right around that time that those intelligence reports were coming in, they got footage of him clearing brush out or doing whatever he's doing on his ranch when he's supposed to be president. And his kind of vibe, his body language to me, you know, kind of suggested, well, I knew I did something wrong. I'm just speculating here, you know. Part of our position and job as actors, we got to watch people's behavior.
Exactly.
The questions that you ask as an actor when you're breaking down a character. Uh-huh. It's called who, what, why, where, and when. Uh-huh. You know, what does somebody want? What's their objective? Why do they want it? Where are they? How do they go about getting what they want? You break, these are questions that actors always, the basic questions that actors have said, this is how you create the biography of the character. So, in that, if we apply that, and that's kind of detective work, right? So if we apply that to this other situation, why was George Bush looking so sheepish when he first got elected? Why wasn't he reading those intelligence reports that said, as the footage of Condoleezza shows us,
Oh, I think the report said something of Bin Laden determined to destroy America. And her tone was so kind of just reminded me of another type of woman who was just like, oh, really? It was just, it was nothing.
Okay.
This is Condoleezza Rice
uh-huh.
in one of the video clips when she had to testify about
uh-huh.
it. So all of these things, you know, Shakespeare said, what is past is prologue.
Uh-huh.
Though, you know, those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
Pay
you.
Attention to the signs. You know?
Yes.
And it just so happens that this seems to happen all of the sudden when the heat is getting on Agent Orange. You know? I'm just saying, well, I'm just looking back. I had this conversation with my friend. He said the same thing. Wow, that's as devastating and horrible as it is that people had to lose their life. That is real convenient, an unfortunate convenience that this happened. And also,
and one other thing, Eric. Remember,
let me just make this.
Remember,
let me just make this.
Yes.
Look at Trump's body language today, in that, and when he was in the White House, when he was said, "Yeah, we're gonna cut back on diversity, whatever he couldn't say it." But turn the sound down. Look at his body language. Something's wrong with this guy.
Yeah.
He's got his arms
been
crossed.
That way for some time.
but I'm saying that's a whole kind of thing. People will tell you people that have some of these syndromes. He's got his arms closed and he's clenched in his body. Look at just turn the sound down. Look at this man's body language. When people say things he doesn't like or whatever. Now people tell you that study body language tell you that the arms folded across one's body is a defensive position.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
I never thought it was that, but people tell you, but look at the way, go to the footage, look at the way this man is sitting and rocking himself. There's something
yes.
not right with this guy. Something not right with him. And it is his
Eric.
Ego and his,
yes.
yeah, go ahead. You feel where I'm going though,
there's
right?
There's something
right?
else. What I wanted to share with you is that on the Bush situation, remember, when he came into office, he had a surplus. At 9/11, which was almost 8.5 months later, he had emptied the U.S. Treasury. At the time those buildings went down, and you know where a major portion of our gold resided? In the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Therefore, and you're right, it's like you're putting this together like a good actor would do in studying character analysis. That it has been, I read an article the other day that said that someone in the administration, this current administration, thinks that Trump might be showing signs of early Alzheimer's disease. And I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I tell you, Byron, there's been so much speculation about his mental integrity.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
you know, this is, I mean, that aspect, I'm not saying this to be dismissive, but that aspect of what's going on has been speculated from before he was able to take over as commander-in-chief. The thing
exactly.
is, I think the train has, you know, long left the station. I think the horse has long left the barn. You know, it's what can we do? What, you know, you pointed out some months ago we were doing one of our shows, and you said that, you know, because we have a government of checks and balances, because
right.
there's certain laws that even if the commander-in-chief does something irresponsible, that the United States military would ignore a command that
yeah.
would put, you know, us in a very vulnerable situation. And,
exactly.
and the thing is that I'm sorry?
Wayne, before we get into that, you know, there is a report or information about, what is it, psychologists?
A group of
psychologists and psychiatrists,
saying,
right?
Yeah, a group of them.
Yeah, and they were getting together to analyze
right.
stability.
Right, you guys are familiar with the hearing about this group of psychologists who
yeah.
have gotten together. Just to piggyback on that point real quick, to interject this too on top of what you're saying, Wayne, but these group of psychologists have gotten together and they've issued a report about concern about the mental stability of Trump. So go ahead, Wayne.
Right.
We just wanted to throw.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and I'm glad you threw that out there, because, I mean, the bottom line is that, you know, periodically it's always the subject of discussion on a lot of these cable news shows. And, again, I just think the empirical evidence is there. I think, you know, the American people are really frustrated, those who are progressive and conscious and follow this stuff on a regular basis. They're entirely frustrated by the fact that this man continues to act the way he does. I've never seen such outright, you know, embarrassment, deliberate embarrassment, and it it's like his body's repellent to it, you know? And then he's got Huckabee, who, in my opinion, is far worse than Sean Spicer. You know, I mean, the way she takes the way she delivers his message is better than what Manning, Peyton, and Namath would do during the course of a football, an NFL game. I mean, it's like, you know, it's just amazing with what goes on here. And sooner or later, it's got to reach ahead. And I didn't know about this business with the power grid, but I find it interesting happening just within days of an election, even though these elections are not on a national basis. I mean, every election, whether it's local or national, is very important. So,
exactly.
I mean, we're about to have election day next Tuesday, and they're conducting this test now. What is that
right.
about?
Uh-huh. Elaine, what
but
you
wait.
Bring up is very important, because
wait,
you're right,
wait,
with the election
wait,
day only
wait
a couple
minute.
Of
wait a
days
minute.
Away. Yeah, go ahead, Kay. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Wayne, you remember when, let's see, World Trade was bombed, right?
Right.
And the week before that, you know, I didn't go to LIBB unless that week. The week before that, I had decided I was staying home. Now,
this
if
is the 93, or are you talking
week,
about 2001?
I'm talking about the World Trade bombing, 9/11.
The 93 or
okay.
2001? Because there were two of them.
9/11.
Okay, 9/11. Okay.
9/11. Okay, all right. Now, that week before, I had stayed home. And because there was something in the air that was happening around that, you know, I just felt it. And I
right.
stayed home. And that day, that's when that bombing occurred.
Mm-hmm.
I just said I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
So I remember it was.
And there were some people in the Muslim community, or I should say in certain communities, because I can't say, you know, who, what, but there was a lot of talk, I remember, of people being aware of something about to happen back then, you know?
Well, the intelligence report was suggesting that. That's what the whole thing was. The intelligence report,
yeah.
The intelligence report that Bush got in August suggested that a
right.
big plan. I mean, the chatter had been the intelligence agency was saying that. The whole thing was that he was still in Texas, not paying much attention to it, because he was
yeah.
feeling guilty. This is me, Eric, talking, because he was feeling guilty because they stole the election. And George was he was the figurehead, the image of that, he was feeling guilty. That's why he wasn't coming to D.C. How are you going to be president and not come to the Capitol and move into the White House? You're spending so much time in Texas.
Well,
you know,
and the thing is, you have to remember who his father was. You know, I'm not to say that he's deceased,
exactly.
but
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, that spoke volumes right there.
And Byron, you bring up an excellent point about the surplus that he inherited from Bill Clinton, because if you remember, Big George left us in a deficit
that's right.
that was actually much worse when Clinton and the people got in and actually looked at the books than the Bush administration and actually left on. This is why
yes.
the Republicans, in my opinion, their tendency is to lower taxes for the rich. That's how we get into deficits after every Republican administration, right? Because the Democrats
right.
come in and I'm not, and believe me, the Democrats certainly have their faults in terms of working with the economy, but the one thing that they try to do is at least balance the books so the average person on the street can get a little relief in terms of their financial
exactly.
life, right?
Yep.
So
I agree.
That brings up an excellent point. There was a surplus. There was a $1 trillion surplus, Byron, something like that, right?
At
that
least,
Bill Clinton left.
At least, yes. That's right. And he emptied the treasury in 8 months.
I tell you one thing, gentlemen. I long for the days of, I never thought I would say this, but I wish George W. Bush was there now as opposed to who we're dealing with, you know, in terms of, I mean, we knew there was a pathology with Bush, and I think it was well established that he's a recovering alcoholic, you know, but we don't know who, what we're dealing with here.
There's an with the Bush. Let me tell you something. With, at least with some of those people, even with a cat like John McCain, right? At least there's an understanding of government. There's an understanding that we need to keep. We need to keep this society, this system rolling. And the people that are really in charge, I know people think it's the president, and I'm sure he is. For those of you that are a little bit more, you know, straight laced and don't want to believe anything that the world is showing you, but you know. Even with that, they understand we need to keep this system going for everybody, for all of us that are running the system. Trump vibe is Trump ain't trying to keep the system going for everybody. So once all of those rich people, once all of those mega rich people get tired of him, right? Once all of the mega rich people get tired of him, he's going to be out of office. But, you know, I mean, he is not really thinking about anybody else other than himself. And his mental state doesn't allow him to consider these things because he's so self-absorbed and wrapped up and needing praise. And, and there's something wrong with this guy.
Yeah.
And you said a great thing, Wayne. At least if George Bush was there, he's going to try to at least keep the lid on and keep the boat running a little bit.
Exactly.
You know?
And I have to say, I have to commend him because, you know, there's a certain sensitivity. I mean, not to cut you off, Eric, but I look at the relationship between the Bushes and the Obamas now, and even the Clintons for that matter. And I'm just saying, you know, their political ideologies may be, you know, disparate, but the bottom line is that on a humane level, you know, they can agree to disagree on some things, but come together on for the good of the nation. You know, the other day when Obama was campaigning in New Jersey for the person who I hope will be the next your next governor, and Bush was in New York, you know, giving a speech before the world body, but you know, without mentioning Trump's name, criticizing the current administration. I mean, it seems like there's an agenda now at play with all that goes on, even amongst the former presidents, to just serve notice on what's happening in the White House now. And I think more of that is needed because, you know, this is like a rudderless ship. I mean, every day you wake up to something new. And, you know, and on a personal note, I was like really just taken back by what happened yesterday. That could have been your mother going through the tunnel back in the day, coming out down there on the West Side Highway. I got family. My young cousin, who's an actress, when she was doing a TV show for NBC, lived in one of those apartment buildings in Battery Park City. And I remember going down there, meeting her for lunch from time to time. You know, walking with her children. You know, I mean, it's despicable. You can't even leave your house and not know whether you're coming back the same way.
Yeah.
Well, you know what happens is that what I'm noticing and what I felt at 9/11 is that a whole bunch of other people in the world began to feel what it was like for many African Americans in terms of black people not knowing, you know, that your life could end that day. You know, I mean, if you look
exactly
at what's going on, you know, black people being stopped and frisked and shot, and I think a Amadou Diallo situation happened around in the early 90s or late 90s. So, you know, African Americans, you know, we know, and you guys working at the black radio stations know that we were in peril on a daily basis. We continue to be in peril on a daily basis. And it seemed as though to me that unfortunately, because of that, many other Americans felt what that was like. You know, you didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I'm sure there are many African Americans, you know, during the course of the day, you don't know whether you're going to be a victim of racism or whatever. You go downtown. I'm sure some people, African Americans, feel that way and some didn't. But I think that, you know, 9/11 caused a lot of people to have that uncertainty in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the thing. I got to share a story about the first bombing in 93, you know, when they first went out there. And this is the whole thing. You have a policy of a country, and some people that have a policy that they affect imperialism or whatever, going out abroad the world, and we need resources here, so let's mess with this country there. And, you know, sometimes United States, in the name of what we want to do, we kind of roll over people. And some of these nations, they look at us as being conquerors, right? But here we are in the middle. You know, everybody who doesn't have the power to affect what's going on in the government and stuff like that, certainly African Americans and people that catch the most hell in an oppressed, in a society that used to be extremely oppressive, slightly more oppressive now, we're in the middle, right? Average working class American, not just black people, but average working class Americans are in the middle. So when bad decisions are made by our leaders, let's go mess with this country, let's go mess with that. You know, sometimes, like Malcolm X said, the chickens come home to roost, right?
To roost.
Karma comes around and gets you. And if you hanging with that cat that's got the bad karma, you know, it's like a lyric from a Biggie Smalls Method Man record, where Method Man says, "I'll make it hot. You so and so, cats won't even stand next to you. I'll make it so hot for you on the block. Cats won't even stand next to you because they don't know what's going to happen to you. They don't want to be in the line of fire," basically saying with this rap lyric. So when we, America goes out, we do our little thing, and we want to kill everybody who done look like they wanted to kill us without the nuances to understanding who's really with us and for us and why. And then when this karma comes back to get us, who's in the middle? The people who might not agree with our policies out there in the world, right?
So I happen to agree with you, Eric. You just jogged my memory for a moment, not to take away from what you're saying, but I remember one day there was a particular record promoter who would go nameless for the purpose of this conversation, and it was always talk around the radio station that you don't want to stand next to so-and-so publicly because you never know what happened. And one day I was coming out of 801 Second Avenue, and he was coming in, and lo and behold, there were bullets firing. So I could see there's some credence to what you're saying with respect to, you know, you just never know. There's some people who walk with that karma, and you're in a bet at the wrong place at the wrong time, things could happen.
That's right.
I ain't calling any names.
So, you know, let's talk it better from a nation standpoint. So people are mad at us. So, okay, so Trump is over here tweeting about Kim Jong-un, another crazy dude. antagonizing him, right? What happens if this dude decides to heck with it? I'm gonna send this nuclear missile over to Los Angeles because we got an idiot president who's calling them names and trying to antagonize an already crazy dude.
Exactly.
So much to the fact that your boy that you put as head of state is calling you a moron for the things that you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
This man is not right. This man is not right. He's certainly not right to be president because this is the thing that when you have Republicans, certain people that have been in office, they understand that at certain moments in history, you're tested. John McCain, at a certain moment in history, he was tested. He could have took a Trump route when that lady stood up and said Obama's an Arab. He could have said, "You're certainly right, ma'am, and I want to keep them Arabs from coming in and bombing us country." And he could have divided the country right then and there, but he chose to stand up and say, "No, ma'am, he's an American just like you and I. We just have a difference of ideology of how we wanted to get our country to the place we want to get it."
Exactly.
See, that's the test of courage.
Yeah.
That's the test of heroism.
Heroism
is the word I'm looking at. That's those tests. Mm-hmm. Where do you stand at the point of decision, excuse me, when no one knows, no one would know, right? It's like Richard Nixon. Do you speak up to do the right thing? It's like Richard Nixon.
Do the right thing.
If nobody had found those tapes, Nixon might have gone to a re-election, right? If nobody had found the Watergate tapes, so he might have gone and gone reelected, but it was at that point, what do you choose to do? How much integrity do you have when no one is looking? Dr. King said, you know, something about true courage is where you stand, not in the times of convenience and comfort, but in the times of chaos and strife. And I'm paraphrasing, but that's true courage. Not this guy that's revving everybody up
dividing everybody, making everybody hate each other. But it's something that John McCain did, who I don't agree with anything pretty much that he says, except for that moment when he had a chance to show his true integrity. He chose to stand up and do the right thing,
yeah,
and not go down that path of division and hatred. Now, he's voted for things that have affected those, had the same outcome as some of those things. But when he had the opportunity to really show it, he refused to go down that path of negativity. And that's the difference between him. And here they elected a guy who disrespected. I don't agree with it much that Don McCain does, but I'll damn sure stand up and salute his service to this country.
Oh, of course.
Getting shot down.
Exactly.
He can't lift his arms all the way up because of the torture he received.
Yeah.
So I'll give the man his props for that. I'm not going to stand there and have the gall when I didn't have the guts. And I really want to say something else, but I'm sitting next to my mom. I didn't have the guts to go to war. And then I'm
slap him,
nerve. Don't talk about an actual war hero. You got a lot of stuff with you. And people for people to continue to follow this man and see what he has to say after he does the despicable things that he's done, you got to check it.
Oh, no question about it.
Kelly doesn't show his true colors. John Kelly, when he lied about Frederica Wilson, then he comes out and talk about, well, the Civil War just didn't have the right compromises. Oh, well, that tells me all I need to know about John Kelly. I done closed the books on him because we know which side of the Civil War he would have been on, right? Judging on the lie that he fabricated about Congresswoman Frederica Wilson and his statement about the Civil War, we know exactly who John Kelly is.
And I wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt up until that whole scandal with the Gold Star situation. But
exactly.
You know, it's unfortunate. There's not one person in that White House regime right now is worthy. Anybody that he has selected is of a particular mindset that is basically what Trump is trying to espouse. And to make the society at large to believe, you know, and I still think, and I heard somebody critical of the press today, and I think with some justification that, you know, this business of fake news needs to come to a resounding halt. There's got to be some mechanism put into play to show what is real news. And I don't mean just going on one of the talk shows and parroting basically what you see on MSNBC and CNN, or even from the other perspective, Fox. But there's got to be some way of getting people to understand how it's created, who's telling a lie. And I guess the only way that you could do that is that whenever something comes up that just seems out of school, that you report on it, you know. But, you know, is it resonating with the right people? Are they understanding what's going on?
Wayne, the way to do it is the way that we're doing it. We are speaking out here on K-Thompson Live. We tell
right.
it like it is.
Right.
Okay? And right. we break the stuff down.
I agree. And I tell you, I mean, listening, having heard the show, not to cut you off, Kay, I know you're the host, but, I mean, the deal is that having heard the show, even in cars and it was reminiscent of what it was like in radio, I still maintain that there needs to be more black programming of a perspective
Absolutely.
Of what
there
we used to go through. You know, on a regular – this show, K-Thompson Live, should be on every 5 days a week. Not just one day a week, 5 days a week. It should be a different market. I know it's global, it's around the world, but the deal is that there should be some sort of and I'm not just saying because we're trying to do the best we can on what meager circumstances, and that's not to belittle, you know, the network that we're on. But the fact of the matter is that there needs to be more voices like this. You know, there was a time. And again, Kay, not to belabor the old point that I was making a couple of weeks ago when they had this symposium for Sharpton, but if you were there and saw some of the people that, you know, basically that we brought to the fore, I mean, you were Tawana Brawley, the Amadou Diallo case, you know, all these people that meant something in the news history of New York. whether you were doing it or not, is you know, at that particular time for the business. It's just that people were well informed. They understood what was going on. You know, you don't see much of that today, and there's a lot of confusion because social media has gotten in the way of that. And then it just seems like entertainment, with all due respect to Wendy Williams, you know, I'm proud to see that she, you know, is collecting a check and she has a constituency that supports what she's doing. But, I mean, the bottom line is we shouldn't be focused on that kind of news. You know, that shouldn't be the focus.
Wayne, don't knock Wendy. Okay?
As I said, I respect the woman, you know. I mean, any black person making money, you know, doing what they're doing, I give them props for that, you know.
Okay. Okay, I know. And this is really very serious time. But you all are bringing out some very good points, and I'm so glad that you are on the air with us. And you don't, like, you haven't jumped ship yet. And if you do, your legs will be broken, by the way. But
well,
anyway,
what's left of them, you know, I'm trying to preserve what I got. I don't want to get too graphic.
We're telling it like it is, okay?
You know, jump in here, Byron, if you have a comment to make, because I wanted to make
The comment is relative to Mueller's investigation, which I think is really pointing back to the moment the Republican Party swore to obstruct the Obama administration at every turn they made. You see, you can't come up with a Trump without the support of the GOP. And the Mueller investigation is doing one thing, which I'm very – I mean, it's this textbook – kind of prosecutorial work that he's doing, because he's not just going after Trump. If you notice, everybody that he's going after thus far, and I understand that four more indictments that are about to drop, are all relative to the money trace. And the money trace is going to go deep into the GOP, because Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan, all of the hierarchy in the GOP, Rand Priebus, all got funding from the Russian oligarch. So you ultimately get a Trump as a result of a GOP that has been participating in treason and sedition for the last 20, 30 years.
Exactly.
This has not just happened overnight. And I'm happy to see that Mueller is pinpointing the money, because you don't get – offshore accounts. His man had three different passports in three different names. You know, who does that?
Exactly.
Okay. So we're not just talking about when you got to deal with collusion, and if you're going to get Trump, there's two ways you're going to have to go after him for impeachment. One of them is obviously through collusion, which is more about treason than the money. The other thing is with him, obstruction of justice, and we must depend upon the system to drop the hammer on him. And here's something about Manafort, which is very important. His federal charges are only the tip of the iceberg, because there are other charges that are going to be dropped on him that are not just federal, but in the state of New York. So he will be unable to be receive a pardon based on his indictments outside of the federal government.
Well, that's depending if Trump lasts the 4 years, you know, just to even put him in a position to pardon someone, you know.
Exactly. But it's also why that he's trying to meet and hire the state's attorney. Now, you heard that in the news, right? He's interviewing new state's attorney for the District of New York, the Eastern District, the Southern District. And they're saying, you know, part of the thinking is that who gets to interview cats that might be investigating them and hold over a job? Now, there's a couple of people that he's been interviewing. One guy is from Rudy Giuliani's law firm. Another guy is from the law firm of his current lawyer or one of his lawyers. So you see what's happening. I mean, you know, the moves, the whole kind of Godfather-esque moves that this guy is trying to make, which not anywhere near the Godfather, but in a very sloppy manner. But the moves that this guy is trying to make are really kind of real obvious. And Byron, you said about you know, the Republican Party has been gauging this for the last 20, 30 years. I would venture to say it's longer, but real precursor and the groundwork laid for Trump was the Tea Party, right?
Yes.
Way back
when
Barack first got elected, it was the Tea Party, the rise of these very aggressive, angry, they were saying angry white folk. What are you angry about? That you have to share power, that somehow people are being equal with you?
Mm-hmm.
But that was the initial beginning of it. That anger that these people have been, the Sarah Palins and all these idiotic people. And let me just speak about the fake news thing. There's certain things that I read on the internet. There's certain things that just life is going to tell you that you should have the intellect, the smarts to know, oh, that can't be true. Come on. You know, you got to know when you're just hearing something that's BS, right? And some people.
Mm-hmm.
But after, you know, certain things I've even read on the internet, I'm like, come on, man, let me double check that. Let me see. You know, you might cross-reference it. You might just use some old grade school,
investigative.
High school.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like what you said a moment ago, Eric, not to cut you off, but I mean, the deal is, like, actors, journalists are required to do the who, what, when, where, and why, the 5W deal too, you know. But not everyone who's reading the internet basically is going to be that analytical. I mean, there are times when I'll go on and try to research something with regard to medicine, and I'm just saying, well, gee, you know, why isn't this out publicly to cure diabetes or AIDS? Or, you know, I mean, the deal is that some things have credibility and some things don't. But it's whether the person who's reading is going to go the extra mile to analyze what they're deciding, to see whether or not if there's something true that they're deciphering here, as opposed to something that's somewhat questionable.
Right. I understand that. Those things are just so ridiculous sounding. You gotta fact check certain things. And this is the issue, that the average person walking around on the street is really not very intelligent, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's the sad part about it.
You're
not very well informative. Okay, let's say informative to be polite, and I think that's a good way to put it. Intelligence has to do with education, but. And how many times you watch these TV shows, and I always go to Jay Leno or Jimmy Kimmel on the street asking people, do you know who this person is? Do you know who that person is? And, you know, showing people pictures of Joe Biden, who was the vice president. People couldn't tell who he was. So, I mean, and that's just general paying attention. That's paying attention to outside of yourself. You don't read some crazy stuff on the internet. Well, it's just like we walk through the supermarket and you see the tabloids. It's like they print all kind of crazy stuff. How crazy of some things do you want to print that people are so gullible to believe that? It's a lack of information, but it's also a lack of being able to decipher in your mind. It is intelligence, Ma, because it's being able to decipher in your mind what might be true, what might not be, or just your own sense of judgment. You know, like, that sounds...
That sounds
a little crazy.
That's why the different rules in journalism is so important.
Right. Exactly.
Who did what, where, why, when, and how.
Well, you guys as journalists also have to fact. You have to.
And that's what my program, the Electronic Media Development for Learning program, was all about for the New York public school system, and it was very successful.
Right. Yes, it was. And you guys did that, and also too, you know, the whole notion of, that voting demographic block of uneducated or non-college educated white guys who voted for Trump, that some used to vote for Obama but voted for Trump now. You know, it people need to stop voting their hate and start voting their hope. So when you vote your hate, your hatred, that means you don't even pay attention to what anybody else is saying. Many of these people, the Republican Party, they don't watch any other news, and it's a fact. I'm sure you guys have all heard it. They don't watch any other news other than Fox. I mean, I at least like to – I will at least watch Rachel and Lawrence O'Donnell. When I hear them going a little bit off the rails, trying to sensationalize, I can decipher. I'm like in my mind, come on, Lawrence.
Yeah.
You're taking a little more – come Rachel, that's not really how the person came across. You're trying to sensationalize a little bit. Even in our own part, you know, even though we're on the other side, at least we will, and maybe that's our problem, you know. We deal with honesty a little bit better, I suggest, than the other part.
Honesty meaning reality.
Well, no, honesty.
We deal with reality.
I'm talking about honesty. We deal with honesty a little bit better than the other party. The facts, the honest, you know.
And the thing is, we have facts to back it up with. I mean, the other thing is just pure illusion, emotion. And it amazes me because there are people who I once respected in my lifetime as a journalist, and I used to cover, like Jeanine Pirro. I had no idea politically that she was in the. You know, I saw the signs early, but I never thought it would be a situation where, you know, the sky is blue, but I still see a little red in it, or I see a little black in it, or something like that. You know, it's like there's an agenda there. You know, it's like, well, I know Donald Trump personally, and I know personally what he meant by, you know, you can't justify somebody's behavior predicated on a personal relationship. What that person may mean to you on one level, juxtaposed to what he may mean as a leader and how he's projecting himself, are two different things. You know, that's the way I see it. I'm sorry. I mean, you may know someone intimately, but I'm just going based. I don't know the person that you may know intimately. I just go based on the projection and how he's having an impact, a volatile impact, on the world body today, you know, as leader of the free world.
I'd like to say, Wayne, you know, I Jeanine Pirro, she always came off, you know, kind of a conservative and Republican to me. Initially, it's something she would say, you know, but she always came. But I would just say to you what Belle Biv DeVoe has said to a lot of people, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like, don't trust a big butt and a smile. And I don't know what Judge Pirro's career looks like. Well, I'm just saying.
Well, I live in the county that she once held as the district attorney, and, you know. And I'll say in all honesty, because I happen to like women, no matter, you know, what their background is. You know, she was appealing to the eyes. She's getting a little old now. But the bottom line is that the fact of the matter is that, I mean, yes, she has a certain standard that I didn't even know about. I hosted a couple events not far from here on the surf club in New Rochelle, in which she and her ex-husband were being honored, you know. And I really thought we had pleasant conversations, maybe because they were non-political, you know. But I don't know. I'm just astounded by what I see and what I hear from her mouth on TV.
So real quick, gentlemen, we got 2 minutes left. I just want to hear, let's throw around our thoughts about the whole Kevin Spacey, the whole harassment. I mean, to me, yeah, right.
Did somebody ask you to ask that question, Eric? I believe in full disclosure. Did somebody ask that question before this close?
So listen, real minute 30.
Okay, Wayne, I think you're right, because he brought us to Belle Biv and DeVoe with a big butt and a smile now. So
okay.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's the deal, Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, the whole routine, because we've got a president who's in the office who likes to grab women's personal private parts. Now, it's not just locker room talk, folks. Unfortunately, we do have an industry that is rife with probably worse than the spiritual industry, because we know the boys in the choir sometimes get a little on that side too. But we do live in an industry. And if you watch TV, I mean, let's face it, the TV shows themselves.
30 seconds. 30 seconds. There
it is. I stop right there.
Okay, Rain, real quick.
Real quick.
All
I got to say is that not just women, men also are victims of sexual harassment. And I'll just stop right there.
Come on. All right, Wayne Gilmore. There it is, everybody. Thank you. That has been our show. Wayne's going to get in trouble. And thanks for everybody for tuning in. Byron Saunders,
Say real quick. Your
peace
name.
And love. Peace and love.
Thank
always.
You. Wayne Gilman. Wayne Gilman, real quick.
Peace and love.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the K-Thompson Live Show every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. I'm the son, Eric Payne, and you are?
K-Thompson.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody.